everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And this is A Date with Dateline. We are going to try a little bit of a new format today. I hope you like it. All of our people who have been listening since the very beginning, forget everything you heard before because we're changing up our format. And see if you like it. Let us know. We don't know what we're doing, so we're figuring this out at the same time you are. Tweet us or send us an email at datedateline@gmail.com. And please let us know what you think. I'm Kimberly, and I have a bit of a cold. So if you hear me sniffing a lot, it is not the cocaine, as usual. It is just my love of murder has given me a bit of... I've come down with the cold. I need to take to my bed.
It's not annoying at all.
Oh, God. Why, when I'm sick, do you hurt me with more puns? It's such...
I feel like
it's
you
a
needed
punishment.
It. I feel like it makes you feel better.
No,
it
doesn't.
Makes you feel better.
Puns are not an antidote for me. So, this episode was called At the Bottom of the Stairs, which is literally the most literal title they've ever had.
It was. Wait, was it at the bottom of the stairs or the bottom of the staircase?
Oh, it could have been staircase.
Okay.
Yeah, it could have been staircase. Can someone tell me the difference between stairs and staircase? Same thing.
No, but staircase sounded a little British to me.
Oh, staircase.
At the bottom of the staircase sounded a little bit like a Hercule Poirot episode.
Yes.
At the bottom of the stairs sounds like someone fell down the stairs in Minnesota. It's very American.
Yes,
right?
Which kind of is what happened, except it was in Massachusetts. So
yeah.
I would like to say that this is not the first episode that we've had that takes place at the bottom of the staircase. There have been several murders, in fact, double murders at bottom of staircase in episodes. And there was one with an owl that was involved at the bottom of a staircase. There was one lady, I think, in England at the bottom of the staircase. There's been a lot. And I just like to say nothing good happens at the bottom of the staircase. You shouldn't avoid that part of your house at all costs, no matter what. Like, maybe you have a daughter who's going to prom for the first time and she walks down the staircase and poses for photos at the bottom of the staircase. But I don't think even that is joyous enough to negate all the negative things that happen at the bottom of a staircase. And so I would just like to eliminate all staircases. As you know, I had a bad accident in October when I fell down the staircase, and I still cannot walk properly. And I would just like to replace all staircases with a slide because they're fun. It's harder to hurt yourself if the slide goes the whole width of the staircase. You can't fall over the edge. And you could slide things down in front of you. Like, instead of carrying them down, you would just slide them down in front of you.
Wait, but how are you getting back
them.
Up?
Some sort of pulley system. Like a dumb waiter. Just a dumb waiter elevator type situation.
No, I need you to go back to the drawing board on that.
But
I think
stairs are bad is basically what we're getting at.
Stairs lead to murder, that's for sure.
Yeah, no good has come on stairs.
So our location for this episode is in Springfield, Massachusetts, which they keep calling Western Massachusetts, which I feel like we don't know anything about New England.
No.
Because Western Massachusetts, they're really specific about it. And then when I was doing research on this, there's a whole West Mass news outlet.
Really?
Like, it's very specific for Western Massachusetts. So basically, if you're not in Boston, I think you're in Western Mass.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
We got to go there.
Yeah.
I need to go to New England. I've been saying it for years.
Yeah. You've been saying it since last week, but that's because of Londonderry. That's
And Murder, She Wrote. Cabot okay. Cove, I need to go to.
Yeah. But that's the same thing. I really want to go to Prince Edward Island because of Anne of Green Gables.
There you go.
So maybe we could do a whole Eastern Seaboard tour and we can go up to Canada and then back down. Also, hello to our Canada listeners.
We have Canada listeners. I love you guys so much. Canadians are the best. I get into so many fights with people on Twitter as my other handle, Stitches Be Crazy. And Canadians always come to my rescue and defend me. No joke. It always happens. And then we have a big virtual hug and I say how jealous I am and I want to come live there. So, okay. We're going to do a
Just
tour.
Saying.
Yeah, we're going to tour. So this, I don't even think I said this episode aired on June 9th, 2017. It is season 25 episode. I do not know because I forgot to write that part down again.
Again?
I have a cold.
I think it's 34 or 35.
Okay.
Somewhere
that
in
sounds
there.
Right.
Might be 36.
That sounds right. And it was hosted by Dennis Murphy, who he's starting to grow on me a lot. I enjoy him. He's just more mild.
He is mild. That's a really good descriptive word for him. Not, he's mild.
Yeah. He doesn't steal focus from the people they're interviewing, like Keith and Mank do with their awesomeness. And sometimes the episode becomes more about them. Dennis sort of slides into the background in a calming way and really just lets the other people shine. And I think that's a good quality. Yes.
I'm glad you're acknowledging this. He doesn't have to be the spicy salsa.
No.
He can be,
I like a mild salsa. That is what I get when I go to Taco Bell, is the mild packet.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be the extra, extra hot.
Yeah.
We've got Keith for that.
Mm-hmm. And Josh.
Hi, Josh, if you're out there.
Hi, Mankey. We love you. So, this episode, the crime, we're going to do a shorter recap. This is part of our new formatting, is we're going to try to do a shorter recap, assuming most of you have seen the episode. If not, we're going to try to give enough detail that you still feel like you know what happened, but not so much that you are bored. If you really saw it and you don't even care about hearing what happened, you could fast forward, I guess.
But this would be your time to use your 15-second ahead button.
Yeah, but we're going to talk a little bit longer than 15 seconds. So on a dank, rainy evening, dank... That's a good word. March 29th, 2010. Anne something last name that's like Rigatoni.
Rintala.
Rintala is found dead at the bottom of the stairs. If ever there was a woman who took life in big gulps, that was Anne. She was impulsive. She was a paramedic and she was a lesbian. So we finally get a lesbian storyline on Dateline. I don't know if it's the first. I feel like it can't be the first, but maybe it is the first. No, I'm sure there's been others. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Well, I don't think I think we've had lesbian characters, but I don't know if... But this was the first case in Massachusetts that was wife against wife.
Right.
Remember.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember the suspect in one of the murders that kept vehemently denying that she was a lesbian and was not in love with the victim. Yes. That episode was awesome. And she told Andrea, "I'm not gay." "Yes, you are."
"Yes, you are."
Andrea basically said back to her, "I'm sorry." Now, Anne fell for Kara/Kara. Her parents said Kara, but I think she was maybe a little pretentious and changed it to Kara because she wanted to sound fancy like Andrea Zuckerman on 90210. Andrea Zuckerman. Sorry, Andrea. So Kara was more contained and cautious. So they were opposites that attracted. However, they looked exactly alike. Am I wrong in that?
You're not.
I couldn't tell the difference.
I could, but it was, there were some striking similarities, which is,
This is just a general question to all gay and straight people, is if you are attracted to someone who bears a striking resemblance to you, is that narcissism?
No, but I think that you are supposed to be attracted to someone that looks like your dad, right? Or your mom? Isn't that a scientific thing that you're supposed to be kind of attracted to?
We might need to deep dive into that, Katie, if you're having those feelings.
I think that's something that's real.
But
then that would mean that you are attracted to someone who kind of looks like you because you kind of look like your parents.
Like, these girls could have been sisters.
They shared a wardrobe, too. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
They were just like, okay, are you wearing the purple pants today? Because I think I'm going to wear them. It was that kind of a relationship, I felt like. Right?
Yeah. I don't get it.
What don't you get?
The whole thing. The finding someone else, yourself, someone else's appearance attractive because they resemble you.
I don't know. Also, I just occurred to me that, is this pride? Did they do a correlation with pride?
We always wonder if there's a dateline with what's happening. Like, there was a donut thing last time and it was National Donut Day, but I think that was purely coincidence. But is it possible?
Do you think this is?
I don't know. This, I wouldn't say that the best way to celebrate Pride Week or Pride Month is to feature a gay couple that maybe murdered one of them.
A murderous lesbian couple.
But that would be the way Dateline would celebrate. You know that Dateline is that person. Dateline has a different way of doing things and they would celebrate
it. Did you do this on purpose? Come on, tweet at us.
Did you do it
on purpose?
Let us know. So anyways, we're doing great on keeping the recap really short, by the way. I think we're...
Press on. Right, we're going to get through it.
Right on point.
You have 4 minutes to get through the recap.
Okay.
I'm not going to interrupt.
So Anne and Kara were both paramedics. They adopted a baby girl, Brianna, and they got married. One day on March 29th, 2010, Kara and the little girl, Brianna, go out. They come back and Anne is at the bottom of the stairs She's dead. There's wet paint everywhere, all over her. The police come and they find that items on the floor had blood underneath them. That was very important to me. The cause of death is strangulation. So the police deep dive into, and I love they said deep dive, like Dateline is now using podcast and trendy terms like deep dive. I just thought it was super hip, guys. You're doing great. So Anne had several mysterious things going on in her past, and we don't know if they're involved in her death. She had what they called an emotional affair going on with this guy named Mark, who was married, but he spent a ton of money on her. He opened a line of credit for her. She liked to shop. Anne liked jewelry and gadgets. She liked money.
Three lines of credit.
Three lines of credit for her.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's three different credit cards. That's crazy. Yeah.
So the police interview Mark, and he was a little bit shady and changed his alibi a little bit. There was also a girl named Carla. This also gets tricky because we have Carla and we have Cara. So
Cara.
Cara. No, Cara.
Cara slash Cara. Okay. We don't know.
So Anne and Cara had gone through a rough patch and broken up. And during that time, Anne had, so she was having this emotional ongoing affair with this guy, Mark, but she was also having a actual relationship with this girl named Carla. And Anne also racked up a ton of money on Carla's credit card. But then Anne decided to go back to Cara and dumped Carla like a hot lesbian potato. But Carla had an amazing alibi. Like, it was airtight. They said unless she had a helicopter, that alibi was airtight. Anne and Cara would argue. They argued a lot and it would get physical. Anne had Cara arrested for assault. They both filed for divorce and then had restraining orders against each other, and they were fighting over the daughter, Brianna. Money was a huge issue for them. They had this growing pile of debt. So finally, the police decide they have enough, although it's all circumstantial, to arrest Cara, the wife, for the murder. They brush through this really fast. There are two trials with two hung juries. And then we finally get to the third trial, which is where we hear more of the information. One of the main things that the prosecutors sell is that Cara got out in a rainstorm and walked in a parking lot to the farthest trash can at a McDonald's to throw out these rags. And one of the rags they recovered might have had Anne's DNA on it. So they said she strangled her at the bottom of the stairs, and in a final desperate attempt to cover up, she poured the paint on her. What was odd was that the paint was wet, but her body was stiff. So it was like this body had been killed a while before, but the paint had just been poured. So they bring on a paint guy who literally had to watch paint dry, and he becomes like the paint expert, and even the lawyer's making fun of him. Like, you're the first well-known paint expert, I guess, right? That's a career. Good job, guy. So then they say this was the breaking point for them was that the judge had threatened to take their daughter away from both of them because they were fighting so much in their divorce proceedings. And what the prosecutors don't know is if she was pushed down the stairs or if she fell down the stairs. But regardless, they felt like when Anne was at the bottom of the stairs, Cara said, if I call the police now, she'll press charges because maybe I pushed her or she fell, or they'll say it's domestic abuse. They'll take the daughter away from both of us. So my only solution is to kill her completely and make it go away. Then I won't lose my daughter. The defense brings up there's Mark, there's Carla, both side pieces that maybe have some reasonable doubt either one of them maybe could do it. But regardless, the third jury finally finds her guilty of murder one. She is in prison. And her little daughter, Brianna, goes to visit her in prison. So that's the basic details of the trial. Did we do it fast? I did it pretty fast, right?
That was really good.
Yay.
That was the basic outline of what we saw in Dateline.
Yay. Now, these hour-long episodes really do zip by. You don't get to know people a lot. But the 2 hours feel like way too long. So I feel like they need to split the diff and do an hour and a half episode, which is very unconventional for TV. But Dateline could start a new unconventional thing. If anyone could do it, it's Dateline.
Well, and it's hard in episodes like this, too, where we have a lot of side characters coming in. You had a lot of interviews with a lot of different people that you couldn't really keep track of.
Right.
So, and it's not like they're showing the name at the bottom of the screen every time and who they are and what their relation is. You're sort of expected to remember.
Yes.
Who this person belongs to.
Yes.
So, because for a long time they had Sandy and Carl on.
Who I were they?
Those were Anne's parents. I thought they were Anne's parents.
I thought they were, too. Yeah.
They're Kara's parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It took me a minute. And then we don't have any of Anne's family, except we have her uncle.
Right.
Who then I thought was her dad, but the uncle was the one that kept talking about how she liked to do karaoke and all that. No.
No, was the friend. The friend said that.
No, the uncle said it too.
Oh.
The uncle said it too. They all said karaoke. She's a karaoke hound, okay. I guess.
That brings us to our first moment that I want to talk about, our curiouser and curiouser moment. It was really cringeworthy. So TJ, the first time we meet him, basically throws Anne under the bus by saying that she is a terrible singer. He said, Dennis says, could she carry a tune? And he says, she thought she could. Then says, she thought she was better than she was. But like, she's dead. You could just say, no, she was great. She had fun when she did it. That's all that matters. He basically said she sucked. And I guess she sang Mambo Italiano. That was her go-to jam, which is the weirdest go-to jam I've ever heard in karaoke. You do a lot of karaoke. Have you ever...
Is Mambo the Mambo Italiano? Is that the one?
Maybe, yeah.
So if she's doing that one, there's literally three words in that song, and it's mostly just...
Maybe that's
dancing.
Maybe that's why she did it. It's an odd choice. It's an odd choice. Actually get to see a little bit of footage of her performing for the daughter, which is very cute. She's dancing in the house and she's trying to sing and make her little daughter laugh. But yes, she cannot carry a tune.
Wait, no, that's not Anne.
Was that Kara?
That's Kara.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They're the same person.
Are you sure? We have two songbirds. I rewound it. It's Kara.
Because people on Twitter were not impressed with her voice, but I think they may have thought that that was Anne as well. I thought it was Anne. Man, wow. I really apologize. I'm so sorry, Kara. Well, she's in prison. Kara. She's not listening. Okay, so here's another point of interest. Anne and this Mark thing, the money. So Anne asked Mark in a text to go to Best Buy for her at 6 a.m., and then said, I'll be there at 8:25 and I'll greet you with a kiss. I have so many questions. What was it Black Friday? Why did he have to go there at 6 a.m.? They're not open at 6 a.m. Was he a paramedic that also maybe worked a night shift? So maybe it's not as big of an imposition.
But why is she coming 2.5 hours
exactly.
later?
Exactly. She was getting off work. But I would never go anywhere at 6 a.m. for anyone that I was not sleeping with.
She had something on hold. Or it was a sale starting and she was like, go stand, hold this item for me and wait for 2.5 hours. Who does that?
For someone you're not sleeping with?
Right. Exactly. No, I agree. I agree. That's crazy.
Yeah. So then Mark co-signed 3 credit cards for her with a 7 grand balance. I don't understand at all. And then she racked up 10 grand on Carla's credit card. And I
have a little information about that.
Please, because again, I'm thinking, her? How is she getting away with all of this?
And obviously she's a shopaholic, right? We're in agreement on that. The girl
Yeah, she has a full-on addiction, I think. Yeah.
So the little outside information I got from the Western Mass News about Carla is that, so it's not just that it was like $10,000 in debt. So when they were having the rough patch in 2008-2009, when Anne went back to Carla to date Carla, Carla set her up in an apartment. So she like co-signed a full apartment for her. Because she was trying to get away from Kara. Yeah. It wasn't just normal credit card debt. It was crazy money.
Why?
It's bad.
How can Anne get all these sugar daddies and sugar mamas and I cannot?
The sad thing is until you said, and I cannot. I was going to say she had a really good personality, but you have a really good personality.
Do I? Do so I?
You're not out there enough. You need to get out there. You need to be a paramedic. You need to get a job where you're out there.
Because I wouldn't mind sponging off someone for 17 grand worth, two different people. What? That's, she must have had some magical personality. So,
yeah,
I don't understand. Okay, so here's another point of interest about the money, and a lot of people on Twitter were really pissed off at them. They went on a cruise to work on their marriage when they were in debt, which,
yeah,
so maybe not the smartest thing to do with your money. So, another thing we have is that Anne was not just a shopaholic, she was a phoneaholic. Which is a phrase that Dennis used. She called her friends and family members 58 times in one day. Is that right?
Yeah.
That is way too much. Who do you... I don't understand. What do you have to talk to all these people about? Talk to them in person.
It was also the morning after she got off the night shift. Wouldn't you just be exhausted? Wouldn't you be like, good night?
Yes.
I'm going to bed.
And that's what she told Kara, or Kara said she said, is she just wanted to sleep. So why is she making all of these phone calls to every single relative, too? They put them on the stand. Her great aunt and her long-lost cousin and her, 17 neighbors. She had to talk to everyone on the phone. Okay, so here was my big WTF moment of the episode. Burger King sells mac and cheese. I did not know this. I have never been the same since I learned this information. I do not know why I am not at Burger King at this moment. I feel like everyone has been lying to me. I don't know if my Burger King in Burbank, California has one or if it's just an East Coast thing. And if so, it will reiterate that I need to move to New England because their Burger King has mac and cheese. Did you know this information? Because this should have been in every ad for this Dateline. You will find out something so shocking, you will never be able to drive down the street again like a normal person once you find out this information. This was the twist of the episode. This was the classic Dateline twist. Burger King sells mac and cheese.
First of all, this was for Brianna. This is for the daughter, right?
Right.
This could be something only on the kids' menu.
Right. So I'd have to get also, like five of them.
Now, I did see actually out today that on the billboard, I think it might have been a Burger King, that they have something called Cheetos mac and cheese balls.
It's
like Cheeto mac and cheese thing. But this is 2017. This was way back in 2011. Sadly. 2011, they might not have it anymore, even if they did have
it
for a brief time.
Now I'm crushed. That's all I got out of this episode.
I'm sorry.
That's all I had in my life, like going forward. That was my weekend plans. That was it. I was good for 2017. With that information, I felt like I could move forward and get through this year. And now it might just be gone. Okay.
Sorry.
Wow. Dream crusher. Did you have any moments, special moments that you would like to talk about?
Yeah,
that I missed.
I had a WTF moment with Suzanne Cordes. Now, Suzanne, there are way too many people interviewed in this episode for how short the episode is. So Suzanne, it falls into the category of that. There's no reason. Suzanne, I think they film her in the church of Reverend Lori. Yeah.
Oh, no, she's not the lady pastor.
She's not the lady pastor. She's the friend that says she knew Kara like a sister. She's just this random woman that is sitting in a church pew. She's the one that's interviewed. I mean, they sort of go over to the parents, but really, in the trial phase, they focus on this Suzanne. She walked with her into the courtroom because Kara's out on bail. So Suzanne was walking with her into the courtroom for her third trial. Suzanne is totally the new girlfriend. I don't know why they don't say it. I'm really like, they all are hooking up at this church. That was my WTF. The minute she said, oh, I walked with her into the thing, I was like, no.
You know what? This is shocking. Where is this lesbian church? And they all hang out together. But
because why else are Dateline interviewing these people at the church? That's what my question was. They didn't need them. They had Kara's parents.
Right.
They did not need this Suzanne from Church Lady.
Is that the only time she's interviewed? That one time?
She's interviewed three times throughout, but you see that they have more and more of a relationship. Like, progressively, it's like...
Wow, I missed this
first
whole
of all,
thing.
Because the first thing she says is really banal. It's like, no, I mean, she was a good woman. I know she didn't do it. I know it. She's innocent. And then the next time it's, we were like sisters. Mm. And then the next time it's, I walked with her into the courtroom. Yeah, because you're living together. Mm. And she's your actual girlfriend.
Now, but here's my, I had an interesting Twitter conversation with Josh Mankiewicz and a couple others this week. He posted an article about, I've been in prison, how will that affect my dating life? That was the name of the article, I think. And I wrote, well, I've literally never seen a Dateline where a man was accused of killing his wife and didn't go to jail and didn't have a new wife within a year. He always has a new wife. And she stands by him and does not think he could do it to her. Because he's not like that, and I know him better, and maybe she was annoying and gained 25 pounds, but he would never kill me. I'm his new wife. And so I just thought it was a man thing, a woman and man thing. But apparently, if you are a lesbian and accused of killing your wife, you can also find a new gal right away. Again, maybe I need to commit a crime and that would make me more attractive. I need to be fresh off a murder trial and that will make me more attractive because I'll seem dangerous or something. And then I'll find a rebound.
Here's what's cool is that you can just lie.
Oh.
You can just say that you are.
But won't they check it on the internet? Won't they check on the internet and say there was no articles about a murder trial?
You can say, well, obviously I changed my name for obvious reasons.
Oh. So should this be like first date conversation or maybe second date conversation? If I go on Plenty of Fish and I go on a date, would this be like, so here's the things you should know. I am unhealthily obsessed with my dog and Dateline. And I also was accused of murder, but totes didn't do it. First date, like before we even order food.
No.
Before we order food.
It needs to be in your profile so that they can decide whether they want a first date. It needs to be before you even get to the first date. It needs to be pre-date.
Okay.
This is a pre-date scenario, I think. I don't know.
I killed my first husband, but you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
I was a different person back then.
I was a different person, literally. My name was different. Don't try to look it up.
Your cells regenerate every 7 years or something. So they say in like 7 years, you basically are a new person. So that was old Kimberly. She was murderous. This new Kimberly is a pacifist and will totally be cool with whatever you want to do. So,
perfect.
Okay.
Do you have any alternative theories for this episode? I'm curious. Or do you have any more moments you need to discuss?
Oh, I did have a classic quote, which was Dennis said, that must make your nose twitch when a guy changes his story, which to me was your nose twitch seemed like a gumshoe type thing. I think Dennis thinks he's in a Sam Spade novel sometimes.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. I'm told you he's growing on me. He's growing on me. And I would say my precious moment was Brianna visiting her mom in jail. She had really cute little...
The braids
were so adorable.
It was mine too. I had that. Yeah, I was like, oh, and they never show her face. You just sort of see her toddling away from behind and you're like, that poor kid.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, she lost two mommies. Very sad. And she's being raised by these grandparents that I have more to say about them later.
Do you?
Yeah,
okay.
I do.
Yeah.
My alternative theory, I would...
Wait, I had a quote.
Oh,
sure,
yes.
The quote that I liked was, the phone calls of the sitting, of the are you sitting down kind.
Oh, the phone kind. Yes, I remember that.
They say it like it's one of the first things in the episode. He says, you know, the phone calls of the are you sitting down kind. I was really excited.
We're going to start saying that. Or using it in this thing. Was there a phone call of the are you sitting down kind?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yes. I love that. Also, do you want me to bring up the time code of when she was described as loving life?
Yes, sure.
Okay, at 41:08 in the episode, we had that she was an irresistible spirit who loved life.
That was not the same as the took life by the big gulps or whatever?
No, it was an actual...
Loving
she
life.
Described as who loved life.
Wow.
So,
beautiful.
It's so in case there was any doubt, now we know.
It's so beautiful. So, do you want to do alternative theories or MVP?
Yes, go.
Okay,
what you got?
I thought Brianna, the little girl, She was
two.
Yeah. She was really pissed about all the fighting that was going on. Divorce is hardest on the kids. And mm-hmm. I think she snapped and could not take it anymore. And I think Kara was the more stable parent and Anne was the more fun parent, clearly. I would have, at two, probably killed the more stable parent because you want some more fun. But for some reason, Brianna went the other way and she killed the mom who was out spending money on crap all the time and not buying her new shoes. And they couldn't have trash pickup at their house because...
That was weird.
Yeah, they couldn't afford trash pickup. So they have to live like in a shanty town or something and drive out to dumpsters every day to put in their garbage. But
you
mom
should explain that. You
mom
explain
can have
that.
10 new TVs. That was the defense's excuse for why she had to dump the trash at the McDonald's.
The rags. The cleanup rags. Yeah.
Because they didn't want to pay for trash service at their house. But, yeah. You know, Anne always got the latest widescreen TV, but yeah. no trash pickup. So I think Brianna was sick of living in piles of trash. And so she killed the mommy that wouldn't stop spending. My other theory was that it was all done by a paint company to create some buzz. They wanted the buzz on social media. They wanted Twitter. So I think it was like a Home Depot or Martha Stewart's paint brand company. Does she have a paint company? Because she would totally
do
something like that.
Simple. It's something like that. Yes. It's called Simple. It's like at Kmart. Yeah.
Yes. So I think they did the whole thing. And it was all people could talk about on Twitter was the paint that was all over the body. And we never figured out why it was there. I think they clearly did it to create buzz. And it worked. However, they should have put their logo more prominently, like etched their logo into the drying paint.
Sherman Williams.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So that you would know which paint store to visit. Unless all the paint companies got together, the conglomerate of paint companies, and all chipped in to hire a hitman to make this happen, just so all paint company sales would go up.
Okay.
And then they could raise the prices on all of us.
So it was Home Depot and Lowe's together as one. Yeah.
Yes.
It's good. It's a good theory. I really like it.
Okay.
I like it. Because we didn't really talk about the paint. It was really bizarre to me that that's how she decided to cover her crime.
Also, they never told us what color the paint was. They said light colored paint.
No, it looked like light blue.
I thought it looked like light pink. That's maybe why they said light color. Maybe all the producers were arguing about what color it was the whole time.
Because they're like looking at this grainy footage being like,
they should have checked the paint can because I'm sure it has a descriptive name like Sierra Mist or something, which I know is a drink, but it could also be a paint color.
The paint thing I felt like was really weird that she decided to use paint to try to cover her tracks because paint, I feel like, would just seal everything in. Right?
Seal all the fingerprints in place and all of the DNA.
But how weird would it be to be a policeman showing up at that? There's all this wet paint and then the body's in rigor. So the body's in rigor mortis or going into rigor mortis. So the body's really stiff. So it's obvious the body has been there for a minute. And then there's just wet paint. And you're like, why did you paint this dead person?
Because that's why I think Brianna did it. Because a two-year-old sees paint, it goes everywhere. It's on the walls. It's on the floor. They're finger painting in it. This is why it makes sense that Brianna did it. Do you have any alternative theories?
My alternative theory, I think the fact that we didn't get to talk about life insurance at all when everyone was in so much debt in this episode. So we had the three suspects, which are Kara, Mark, and Carla, all were in debt from this woman. So if they had all three band together.
Ooh.
And Kara, and I'm sure paramedics have decent life insurance, right?
Yes.
I'm sure this is like a $250,000 policy.
Yes.
So... You know, and especially because there's a young daughter involved and they're legally married.
Yes.
So she would have absolutely, they're not even common law. So they would have banded together to get the debt off their back. And because I found out the stuff about Carla seemed shady. I don't know. She went back to her and then dropped her like a hot rock.
A hot lesbian potato is what we're going with.
Yes, that's right. Hot lesbian potato. Yeah. That seemed weird to me. And it also seemed a little bizarre. What I found out in outside sources was her other girlfriend, Carla's girlfriend, after Anne, committed suicide.
What?
Because remember, Carla's a police officer. They talk about it really quick that Carla's in, she's in the police force. Carla's girlfriend after Anne shot herself with Carla's gun. With her service revolver. I know.
Oh my gosh, maybe Carla did do it. The defense attorney did say there was a hole in her alibi. And she said she was at the gym the whole time.
I know. But also, the gym footage, apparently, is a woman walking from the gym to her car. And the police's confirmation on that is Carla said, oh, yeah, that's me.
That's it?
Yeah. I know. It's pretty good. Oh, so, I mean, I think Carla may have actually done it.
This is good. This is good info. Carla is rotting away in prison now for nothing, maybe.
But I do feel bad that Carla's new girlfriend committed suicide. Sorry about that. That's sad.
Well, we don't think she committed suicide. We think Carla did it.
There is a chance that Carla killed two people.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
It's totally possible. And we think basically that's what happened. Do you have an MVP for this week?
Go with your MVP. I gotta look at my notes. Hold on.
My MVP were lesbians everywhere because they proved that they can ruin a marriage just like straight people. They can murder their spouses just like straight couples. They should have the exact same rights as straight couples because they are just as effed up as everyone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go lesbians.
Okay, you didn't pick the Reverend. I'm surprised.
No.
Okay. The one that said that huge quote.
May God be, God, where art thou?
Oh, God, where art thou? With tears in her eyes. Yeah. That was a big moment.
Yeah, that was really dramatic. I thought she was very hip. I liked her.
She was hip.
I would have liked to have seen her doing her preaching thing.
Yeah, I would like to see her at the pulpit.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Did you like, did you not like my loser? The uncle?
No, I don't remember the uncle. Oh. There was an uncle?
His name was Pasquale. Which I thought was amazing. He was the one that loved her doing the karaoke.
Did he think she was good?
No, he said he was like, she loved life. It didn't matter if she was good. They all danced
basically
around it.
Basically, universally, she sucked at singing. It was universally agreed upon. So, do you have any Joan Rivers fashion police moments?
The faith necklace.
I didn't notice
it. The faith necklace really caught my eye because I saw Kara's mom wearing it and I was like, what does that say? And I thought it might say Kara, but it said faith, which I don't know. I have a hard time with these people with, you know, your daughter is a murderer.
Allegedly. Probably,
no,
yes.
She's in prison.
She was convicted. She's a convicted murderer.
There were 12 jurors that thought yes.
There were 24 that couldn't make up their minds before that.
That's totally true. That's weird. I don't know how that happened.
So
what did you think?
All I noticed was the paint expert was wearing the wrinkliest suit I had ever seen in my life.
That's true.
It was like a Shar Pei. I don't know if he put it in the washing machine and then like sat on it until it dried, because I think that's what he did. Or he had it rolling around in wet paint. It just had wrinkles all over it. It was really wrinkly.
Dennis was very well dressed this episode. Dennis looked sharp.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He was wearing some good like power ties. He looked great.
He doesn't do a pocket square like Mink.
He doesn't. He does power ties.
Gotcha.
He does like the red and the bright blues. Like, yeah. He's smart. I like it. Okay, so what do you have next?
K's Do It Better titles. The reason we're calling it that is because yours are always way better than mine. So we're going to...
No.
But you could decide it could stand for Kimberly. But it will not likely stand for me because mine are not that good.
Mine aren't that good this time, so it's okay.
Well, we're going to start with me because mine are always way worse. So my first better title, rather than At the Bottom of the Staircase, is Ask Sherman Williams.
Ask Sherman Williams.
And do you know, I always thought it was Asher and Williams until this past year. I thought it was Asher and Williams. My other title would be Mambo Italian. No.
That's good. It's a pun.
I know. Oh. I tried really hard. I tried really hard. Good. My soul broke a little bit when I made a pun, but I did it.
It's fine.
And that's all I have for titles.
Those are excellent. Because mine are not good. Mine are all terrible puns.
Go for it.
Because I had karaoke killer.
Okay.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. And then I had painted into a homicide.
That's instead of like painted into a corner?
Yeah. That's pretty much. That's what I got. I didn't do well on this, and nothing struck me. Nothing struck me.
Just disappointing. I'm altogether.
Sorry. Nothing struck me on this one. It's not my fault. But hey, look, I did outside research, and I got some good outside
info.
Yes,
you did.
So
yes.
I made up for it with my alternative theories.
Yes, I will accept that. I will totally accept that. So let's go to Twitter and do who loved life the most this week. So we have, well, actually, Dateline producer tweeted a couple things that were interesting to me. One was cat hairs were also found on Anne's body. Since the couple did not own cats, defense also argued that the hairs came from another source. Which seems very interesting, but again, in these one-hour episodes, they have to cut stuff like that. But that
Carla.
Seems very, like, where did the cat hairs come from?
Carla.
Carla maybe has a cat. I don't know. Do cat hairs travel from one person's house to another person's house very easily? You have cats.
Yes. Oh, my God. Do you not find cat hair on your stuff after I leave?
I don't clean, so I wouldn't know. But it's possible. I certainly find sunflower seeds a lot that are yours.
That's a gift. That's a present I'm leaving for you.
Oh, that's really nice.
You're welcome. Also, if I get murdered, I want people to be able to have my DNA at your house.
Really smart. You're leaving a trail. That's super smart.
You're welcome.
So that I thought was very interesting. Dateline producer also said prosecutors claimed Kara also disposed of a laundry basket from her truck seen on surveillance tape, but it was never recovered. I know. Why would you throw out a laundry basket unless maybe it had paint on it or DNA, unless it was broken? But again, this is the pouring rain in a trash bin that is all the way across the parking lot. But why wasn't it recovered? It was just not in that trash can, but they found the rags. I don't know. They saw her do it on surveillance tape, so somehow it disappeared, which is very weird. Maybe because Mark and Carla, they were all in it together. And one of them took it out. I do not know. Sardine Earl says, I think the woman pastor did it. Anne's wife is just a red herring. He or she provides no basis for this whatsoever. But I still really, I like an alternative theory.
I also like a strong belief based on nothing.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, it's what's keeping this country going, I think.
It is. It's true.
The Paul 08 says paint experts don't make much, hence his suit jacket. Poor guy.
How did I not notice it? I'm going to go back.
It was so very, very wrinkly. Sardine Earl again. I thought the Burger King mac and cheese would have had more to do with the case. And Jamie Bailey wrote back, surprising that it really didn't factor in at all. Disappointing. And I wrote them back saying I was going to commit a murder poisoning someone with Burger King mac and cheese just to keep the Burger King mac and cheese out there. I need the story to be out there and for more people to know. And I got back a couple hashtag never forgets. So people want this story to be out there and keep it in the media. So I'm going to murder someone with mac and cheese from Burger King.
I'm going to just interject here real quick. I think that if you say on Twitter that you're going to murder someone with mac and cheese, that you're going to get blocked.
That's what got me blocked?
Yeah. You can't say I'm going to murder someone with mac and cheese.
But obviously it was lighthearted. A lighthearted murder joke. They don't know my sense of humor on Twitter. I got this. What she's referring to is I did get blocked on Twitter. My account got locked. Our dateline. And I can't get it unlocked for some reason because they won't text me a verification code. And I'm just now realizing it could be because I threatened to murder someone with mac and cheese from Burger King.
And there's now like a 90% chance the FBI is going to show up at your house. And I hope they do. And we're going to do a whole episode on murder etiquette.
Yeah.
And when not to mention murdering people with mac and cheese.
And also, like, what do you offer FBI people a soda when they come into your house?
Oh.
I don't even have enough seating in my little living room for them to sit down. We're going to have to stand outside.
You stand outside and the neighbors are going to see these people.
My neighbors already think I'm shady. So they're going to be like, oh, confirmed. Kimberly is a weirdo.
No, I think you offer them Sprite.
Okay. I could do that. I better get some Sprite now because I don't think I have anything.
No, you need to get, yeah, go buy a 2-liter tonight and have Sprite ready for them because they.
I don't even have matching glasses for these FBI agents.
Oh my goodness, we're in trouble.
I'm going to get arrested. They're not going to think highly of me.
You're going to the pokey. I'm going to have to bail you out. This is going to be a disaster.
Can we do the podcast when I get to call you on my phone calls every day?
Yes, we're going to. We're going to do the podcast in sessions of 15 minutes at a time because I think that's how much you get. No, you get 8 minutes. That's what they said last episode.
Oh, I think it's must be different per jail.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, brother. This is not. I can't believe it.
Can I say two more things on Twitter? Nessa Rose. I got blocked, so I couldn't respond to her, but she said, that's so sad. It was so much drama last night. She had said something about being a loser at 30-something and watching Dateline and said, you're not a loser, you know, we're starting a club. And she said, can yoga pants be our group uniform? And I had to log on as Stitches Be Crazy today and say, yes, yoga pants will be our uniform. Mine will always be covered with Cheeto dust, but that's optional. And she said that hers are permanently coated with Cheeto dust. So she's one of us. And I wanted to say, this is sort of a newsworthy item. There was Crime Con, which is like Comic-Con, but for crime stuff happening in Indianapolis this weekend. And Josh Mankiewicz was there and spoke. And Elizabeth Esquivel tweeted that he said at his Crime Con, in his speech, he said, without you, the crime fans... and Texas and Florida, Dateline would be off the air. And then Elizabeth said, Texas in the house, hashtag represent. And I thought, do you know he's dissing you guys? But I love it. He always disses Florida on Twitter. He retweets every crazy Florida article there is. So this happened to be a Massachusetts, but it usually is a Texas or a Florida, or maybe Arizona sometimes. Right?
I'm 90% sure the only reason they did this one this week instead of a Texas or a Florida episode is because it's Pride Week.
Okay, let's find Dateline. We'd like to know. Is that how you chose to celebrate Pride Week? By highlighting a big old lesbian circle drama murder spree?
Yeah.
I guess not a spree. There was only one person murdered. But my soul was murdered a little bit.
Why?
Well, the wrinkly suit and the bad karaoke singing. And the paint, which I need an answer. I need to know why.
We did not get enough information in this episode at all. It's why I had to go to outside. Because I was like, what's happening? And also that they didn't delve into more of that Carla at the ATM thing.
This is fascinating. And Carla's next girlfriend killed herself. I want to know more about that. So, yeah. So my soul is still a little broken. Dateline, okay. I need the 2 hours to come back. But I think those are sometimes too long and maybe an hour and a half is the sweet spot.
Did you give it a rating?
Oh, yeah. What do I give this episode? How many cell phone pings out of 5? I don't know. Lesbians murdering. I love that. On paper, this episode sounds great because lesbians and murdering just sounds a winner to me. It wasn't as much of a winner in person. So I'm going to give it just a solid 3, just straight across a 3.
Oh, you gave it higher than me. I did not grade it very high. Sorry, I gave it a 2.4.
I understand. That's fine. They can't all be amazing. But Dateline is better than no Dateline.
That is true. And they also teased too much. They teased that, you know, that preacher. I thought she was going to play, the Reverend was going to play a much bigger part because they had her, oh God, where art thou at the very beginning. And then we see that again. She's got one other interview, but that's it. I wanted to know what that lady thought.
Uh-huh. I'm going to go have to watch one of the other many Datelines that had to do with the church murderer because those ones are good. There's been a couple really good church murder ones. Where a parishioner was killed, where a priest was killed. There's a lot of them. Oh, also, The Keepers on Netflix is very good, and it's about a nun that was killed.
Is it good? Okay, it's I haven't very started good. It yet.
It's very right. good, and it goes into a lot of detail. So I guess that's it for tonight.
Please follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, please subscribe to us on iTunes. Please follow us on Twitter at DateDateline and Instagram DateDateline, although I have not posted anything. So you will be following a empty blank slate of an account. Don't forget to review us on iTunes or you will be forced to wear the wrinkliest suit ever made when you are testifying the one thing that you have, your biggest skill in life, is about paint drying knowledge, and the defense attorney makes fun of you on the stand for it, and you're in a wrinkly suit. That's what you will be forced. We will subject you to that if you don't review us on iTunes.
I'm even going to say his name. I'm trying to keep his name from the public because I'm embarrassed for him. So,
so sad.
I'm not going to get it out there anymore. Yeah.
He was so mocked. It was like, oh, you're a pain expert now? Okay. Big boy with a big job, pain expert. Okay.
And the defense attorney was kind of ruthless. He was smart and like went in for the, they said he opened in just sarcasm.
Yes.
I was like, that's horrible.
Yes. He did not go after the personal attack of the wrinkly suit, which I might have said, done and said, you can't even afford a dry cleaner. Why should we listen to you? Ever heard of steam cleaning? Yeah. That I would have mocked him mercilessly and then, yeah, gotten kicked out of court. So that's all for us. Or blocked on Twitter. I can't believe my murder comment got me blocked.
That's totally it.
Don't watch alone, everybody. Watch with us. And we'll see you next week.
Keep your suits steamed.
Bye.